Welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, a podcast hosted by international award-winning author, two-time TEDx speaker and investor, Natalie Torres-Haddad. She will share the tips and tricks from interviews with self-made entrepreneurs, leaders, and those who have attained financial freedom while learning financial literacy.
Today's special guest is not only someone that I very much admire, but she has her own podcast too. And the more we can highlight other podcasters that are doing amazing things in the financial community, she's a super mama, and I am just extremely proud of what she's been up to. And she'll be letting you know a little bit more of what she's been up to. But Chelsea, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Natalie. I'm excited.
Thanks. And so for the moms that are listening out there, tell us a little bit about your podcast, but also maybe kind of one of the things that you might be doing for Mother's Day weekend.
Sure. So our podcast is the Smart Money Mamas Show, and that's our platform as well as Smart Money Mamas, where we talk about a holistic view of money being a critical form of self-care and how we can build the lives that we want. We think about wealth in a way that first builds that foundation of security and then really goes off to create the circle of people in our lives that matter to us, and teaching the next generation about money to build that generational wealth.
I love it. And the more support we can give is the best thing that we can do. So I love that you're doing that with your podcast. The representation is so important. When we see not as many female podcasters yet, but the fact that we see the growth, it's so exciting.
It's definitely growing. As for Mother's Day weekend, we will probably go geocaching, which is like, I don't know if you know anything about geocaching, but there are hundreds of thousands of little caches, like little treasure things hidden all over the world. And you can actually like download the app, and there's GPS coordinates, and you can go find them. And so my 5-year-old and 3-year-old boys are obsessed with the fact that they can go find treasure. So we'll go hiking and find a couple geocaches probably.
I love that. And being out in nature is so therapeutic too. So it's kind of those fun things that people sometimes think about, like, oh, they have to go to brunch, or, you know, right now in a pandemic. Yeah. So it's not like you can really go out and spend, but that's a great way to do it, to get out in the real world, you can say, in the nature of it. Oh, that's very cool.
Exactly.
I'm going to look into that. I think that's one of the things that we get to see, that kids can do something different too. Now for you, you know, I always start off with the question is kind of like, what is the first time you got paid that made you look at money differently? So it might have been from a 9-to-5 or from your side hustle that you were just like, wow, I can make good money with this.
Oh, that's a good question. So the first time, my first paycheck was, I actually worked at a tobacco field in high school. So this is in Northern Connecticut, where I live, is actually a very common thing, or used to be. Most of those fields have closed, but high school kids would go work, and it was like the best way to make money. They paid well hourly, and you worked with all your friends. It was gross, disgusting, hard work, but it paid well. And so that was like the first time I got a legit paycheck and was like, oh wow, like this is more money than I've ever had before. And so that was a really cool experience. But I think the biggest moment was, you know, I left my job. I was a hedge fund manager for several years. I worked on Wall Street before that. And a little over 3 years ago, I left that job to start Smart Money Mamas full time. And I tell people that because of regulatory reasons, my blog had to just be a hobby until I left. And so we went from very high income to zero overnight because my husband's a stay-at-home dad. And it was really nerve-wracking. Like, we had money saved up to make that transition. But the first time I got a big freelancing check was a big wake-up call. And then when we launched our first product, so our first product was the Family Emergency Binder. We launched it about 8 months after I left my job. And we had expected to sell like 50 binders, and we sold 500 in that first 2 weeks. And it was just like, oh my God, we can actually do this. Like, it was such a weight off to see this kind of like growth in the business.
Oh, I love that. And to be able to come up with the product is like another baby. So I think that's beautiful that you're get this out there while it's out there. And that's amazing. From 50 was your goal to 500. I think that's inspiring. And I think people need to do that for themselves, right? Set the goal. And, you know, if it's 50, you never know, it could be more than that. So congratulations on all of it. And
thank you.
It's an important topic that you're saying. Sometimes it's a huge jolt or a shock to many of us when we make that transition to full time, right? And I know there's a lot of podcasters listening to this too. Was there any tips that maybe you can think of that helped you kind of make that transition, especially with a spouse? I know that's something a lot of us deal with, where we're like, how do we get our spouses on board? How do we schedule, you know, having a different lifestyle?
Yeah, I mean, I could tell you a lot about what not to do. So leaving without a backup plan really was difficult. We had backup plans, right? Like I could have gone back to traditional work, so could my husband. But the fact that he didn't work, and we made the decision fairly quickly. So we'd been preparing for Phi for a long time, and so we had money saved up. But it was really, I was pregnant with our second. My water broke at 32 weeks. We thought we were going to have a preemie, which is really scary. And so, and my work is still asking me questions, still sending me emails. And I just looked at my husband. I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I can't. And so we quit from my hospital bed. Aww. And then like, which was, and he actually, my son stayed until term and everything turned out fine. And that was fantastic. But like in that moment, it happened very quickly. And so then we had a 2-year-old, a newborn, me ending up going through postpartum and trying to start a business all at the same time. And had we had at least one other source of income, even though we had savings, when you've been preparing for Phi, when you've been in a career for a long time, you tie some of your identity to making money, to saving money. And so to watch the bank account flip and for a while be going down was much, much, much harder than I expected it to be because I didn't have any experience doing it before. And so the biggest piece of advice that we did do well is just kept a very open line of communication between my husband and I of like how I was feeling, how he was feeling, what our options were, and keeping a tab on what our backup plans were, right? What was our runway? And so we had said when I left, we have 2 years. Like we have 2 years of expenses without having to tap retirement or anything other accounts that we don't want to touch. We have 2 years. So a year in, 12 months in, let's have a conversation about whether we should start to try to do job searches and things like that. And that way we still have the cushion while we had to do a job search. And so a year in, we felt pretty good. And so we kept, and so every kind of 3 to 6 months after that first year, we would have that conversation until we were really in a steady place.
Wow. Thank you for being so raw with that, because I think sometimes people do forget that we do tie our identity to how much we make, how much we have saved. And I've been there. So I understand it's kind of like you see your bank account changing, all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, how do I deal with that? So thanks for that rawness, because sometimes we need to hear it. And if you don't mind talking a little bit about the postpartum part as well, I think this is such an important topic right now, especially we're celebrating moms, we're talking about mental health all the time. May happens to be Mental Health Awareness Month as well. You know, maybe if there's some things that you can share, like you said, that you wish you would have known, or maybe that were helpful, because I'm sure there's a lot of people that could use some of that advice.
Absolutely. So postpartum, one thing that I didn't know was that it can actually hit any time in the first 12 months to 2 years. And so with my first, I was fine until he was about 6 months old. We had 4 months maternity leave. I was okay. I went back to work for 2 months. And then I started to really feel that first, that irritability, because it's not just depression, right? That irritability and then some depression and like crying without knowing I was crying, right? But because of the timing and because I didn't know that postpartum could start any time in that period, I started to blame work for that distress, right? And like, no, if I just set better boundaries and if I just exercise or eat right, I thought I could fix it, right? And so that lasted all the way until we got pregnant with our second. And so I had never really kind of recovered until after our second, pushed it even further. And then it was like, I was talking to a friend and it was a realization that like, oh, maybe something bigger is going on. And then I finally, after now, you know, almost 3 years, went to my doctor and got on some medication and got some help. But I think that asking the different ways that postpartum can come out, right, is a good thing. I think a lot of people assume it's just depression, it's just self-harm, and it's not that at all, right? It's like loss of passions, irritability, that kind of anger. And so knowing those signs and then having people in your life that also have learned those signs, right? Because we are really good at rationalizing in the moment of like, no, we'll just figure it out, it's fine. And you kind of need somebody else to check you and say like, hey, like you just don't really seem like yourself right now. And I think it's worth talking to somebody.
Yeah. And sometimes it's our spouses that see it more than, or suffer the most too, right? Cause it's kind of that.
Oh, you're, totally.
Just yesterday I had a moment where I was like so easily frustrated and just annoyed. And later I'm like, hey, babe, I'm sorry. You're grieving. When you're grieving loss of the loved one, you're just kind of trying to figure that out. And the fact that you said you don't really know, everyone goes through it differently, right? And so thank you for sharing that, because I think sometimes it's that assumption that's always going to be a sad person. It's like, no, it could be irritability, it could be weight gain, lost weight, you know, all these things that affect it. And I think, especially for moms, I think there needs to be more support out there, right? So do you know of any resources or things that you, that are free or available to moms that when they're, you just said you were just trying to ask questions of, you know, what to look out for?
I think in general, your OBGYN is a fantastic resource. They tend to know a lot about it. And if you ask, they will talk to you, especially before your first kid. If you're someone who's suffered from any kind of mental health in the past, I'd talk to your therapist. I'd talk to your primary care just to see what you can do preventatively to watch out for it. And then there's a lot of great resources. I know that Frugal Woods, Liz Thames, did a couple incredible articles about postpartum and what she wished she knew. And so those I've sent to a lot of people that are struggling to figure out what's going on. She's just a brilliant writer. And so that her work on that was really helpful.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to make sure I put that in the notes so people can look into it. And just yesterday I saw an article, I believe it's New Zealand, that is the first country to provide medical leave basically for women that have miscarried. And I'm like, why can't every country follow that? And I think it's beautiful that they're obviously bringing light to that. Do you see that there might be, there's less resources sometimes for situations like that where a lot of people need to have that extra support?
Yeah, I think that in general, it's still, miscarriage is still something that's hidden, right? And so we talk about, you know, you can see the statistics around 20% to 25% of pregnancies ending in miscarriage. And that doesn't necessarily mean that one in four women that you meet has had a miscarriage. It's likely higher than that, right? Because she's had multiple pregnancies, hopefully some of which resulted in live birth. And so there's still a lot of shame about it. We don't talk about it. And it's really, really hard. And so often you're suffering on your own. And especially when you consider the fact that the majority of miscarriages happen before 12 weeks, which means you haven't actually told your coworkers and your friends. And so it's really just you and your partner or you and your really close friends kind of grieving this on your own. And so talking to, you know, letting your friends in on those things is hard. And so I recently had a miscarriage a few weeks ago. It was a very, very difficult situation. But what we were glad about is that we did tell a couple of our friends really early in the pregnancy that we were pregnant. And our rationalization was like, if something went wrong, we would want these people in our corner. And so when it did, when that did happen, and it's devastating, it's still devastating, they were able to kind of come and support us, come and help with the boys and do those things. They're in our COVID pod. That if we didn't have that, it would have been a lot more difficult. So if you're someone who's going through that or has gone through it in the past, the number of people I've talked to who've said it was 7 years before they were able to tell anybody else, just be willing to talk about it.
Thank you for sharing that. I know on your episode that we did together, we talked a little bit about mental health. But it's true. It's kind of like hearing your story. My husband and I, we've been trying to conceive for 8 years now. And it's a very lonely, difficult situation, right? Because you said people don't talk about it. I openly started talking about it last year because it's that where it's a stigma where people assume that everything's by choice or things that maybe you're not doing something right or bad habits. And you just said that most people will lose within the first 12 weeks. And so I think that's something that's really important to say. It's like, you don't have to go through it alone. And thank you for sharing your story, because I think that's something that will allow other women to be like, oh my gosh, I thought I was the only one. And, you know, on YouTube, you see so many different resources now for free. Like there's just different avenues that we can have these conversations. And kind Absolutely. Of ending it with, you know, because this is a podcast about money, right? And you have your boys, and I love how you're doing an outdoor, and you know, outdoor, you're not spending as much money when you're doing outdoor activities. But as a mom, do you see there's things that you tend to gravitate to when it comes to teaching your kids about money that maybe most people don't think about doing? I think just doing an outdoor thing, I think that's a really smart move of showing them that you can have fun without having to spend so much money going to like a theme park.
Yeah, so one of the things that we do is we started money conversations really early with both our boys. So both our 5 and 3-year-old, they have allowance, they have piggy banks, they actually each have 3 banks that are their give, save, spend jars that they love. My 5-year-old has a little business, so we have chickens, and so he sells the eggs from the chickens. But it's great in giving them as early as possible some autonomy, some age-appropriate autonomy when it comes to money. So saying, like, letting them save for a toy, letting them have some pocket money so that when they're in the store and they're asking for the six different toys that they point to, you can say, okay, you have to make a decision, right? And so we've been pretty lucky that so far both boys aren't super spenders in general, and they're pretty good at just like checking things out. But giving them the language and the choice has been just a huge benefit. And one thing, like very simple exercise that we can do, and it's a good way to distract kids when you're like in the grocery store or something, and figuring out pricing and figuring out value is really, really powerful. So I think the sooner you can start the conversation, the better.
I love that because it's you're teaching them a new habit, right? And I'm sure your kids are going to be financially literate, which is going to be great because they'll be able to help you with all these things. And teaching them about business at such a young age is it's exciting. And obviously, if they're having fun with it, they're going to want to learn more about it. So that's some really cool tips. And I know because you're in Connecticut, right? So this is going to be I think it's so needed that other people can see you know, what other people in the world, different parts of the world are doing. Because I think sometimes we get so jaded into our own community. They're like, oh, I never thought about, you know, having a rooster or a hen in the backyard to be able to teach them about eggs, you know, which in my neighborhood, we have some like that too. So it's wonderful to know that, hey, there's other avenues of teaching kids. Thank you so much for being a part of this. And I know we definitely want to have you back on because there's just so many different topics we could talk about, especially when it comes to our money and our children and what we can do to make sure that they learn, hopefully learn from our mistakes and learn from what we're doing right, because obviously you're doing something wonderful and using your voice, using your platform. I thank you for that because for me, I've only been podcasting now. Well, now I'm excited to say 5 years now, but it's exciting when I see women like you that are doing using your voice in such a way to amplify what many of us are like worrying about. Like, no one's talking about this, right? Especially finance still being male dominated. It's like when I hear you talk, I'm like, I'm not the only one thinking that, right? Some of my mentors will say that too.
Thank you so much. And any mamas who are listening, we do have a financial literacy activity pack for kids that has like 15 different games in it that you can print out and play with kids. And it's age for 3 to like 12. We have a range of activities. And so if you want to check that out, some of the games we play with our boys, like needs versus wants game and learning about money values and things, are in there.
You know, I will definitely get one for one of our listeners. We'll do that. We'll do two giveaways. And so I'll definitely make sure we get that for the audience, because it's true. Sometimes you just need a new perspective on how you play with money. And thank you for being a part of this, because mental health is all, you know, we're talking about it for May because it happens to be mental health awareness. But I hope you and your family have a wonderful Mother's Day. And before we end, what is your favorite book or resource about money and how people can find you?
Well, stay on topic. I would say one of my favorites is The Opposite of Spoiled by Ron Lieber. That is a fantastic, fantastic book about talking to kids about money, teaching kids about money. Really, really good resource. One of my favorites.
Awesome. Thank you. And how people can find you?
You can find me at smartmoneymamas.com, and we are at smartmoneymamas on all social platforms. So come hang out, check us out. I spend a lot of time on Instagram, and we just got on TikTok, which I don't know what I'm doing over there, but it's a lot of fun.
I'm here with you too. I just started. I'm like, I'm not really sure what we're doing this, but thank you so much, Chelsea, for being a part of this. And for those that are listening, any mamas out there, feel free to reach out. We'd love to hear your thoughts and any resources that we can provide for you. And all of you have a wonderful Mother's Day. Chelsea, thank you for being a part of this. Have a financially savvy day, guys. Bye.